This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes and to continue the study today of the Church versus Modernism. Today I want to call your attention to a recognition of the place of the Bible as one of the things that we can do about the fact that modernism is making encroachments even where formerly people had strongly believed in true Christianity. The Bible is authoritative. We must do only what it authorizes. The Bible is inspired word by the Holy Spirit. It is God-breathed. Read with me, if you will, from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible, then, is the Word of God. It is God-breathed. It is absolute truth. It does not depend upon our interpretation for its validity. It is not merely a human document. It is the Word of God. Now, we cannot meet modernism without recognizing that to be so. And we must not only recognize it, we must learn how to show that the Bible is the Word of God. That is, to prove not only that God exists, but that the Bible is His Word. Next, let me suggest something that we can do to meet modernism is to preach the truth on what really is acceptable unity in the sight of God. We must not deceive ourselves into thinking that acceptable unity can be attained and maintained by any way other than according to Bible teaching. There have been various ways by which men have sought to attain unity. Some have tried to attain unity by military force, some by enactment of law, some by simply tolerating different views, that is, by agreeing to disagree, or by compromise. But I insist that we seek God's solution to the matter of unity, and not the solutions of such men as modernists. Paul made this clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. This is in sharp contrast to the doctrine of men, and it is a matter and ought to be a matter of great concern to every one of us. Paul says, and I read now, beginning with verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized into the name of Paul? Here he is making clear that Christ is not divided, and that none of us should call ourselves after anyone but Christ. And that, as a matter of fact, we do not have the right to call ourselves religiously after anyone who was not crucified for us, and into whose name we have not been baptized. And that, of course, can be only the Lord Jesus Christ. Further, I insist that we must believe God's Word today and the power that it has to work in the lives of men who are now living. God intends that the gospel should be regarded by His people as His power unto salvation. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Thus, we must regard it as the dynamic force to change the world, to change men who are rebellious sinners into men who are sons of God, dedicated to truth and righteousness. The gospel has already demonstrated its power in the lives of men and women in the New Testament. It is not to be changed according to the changing situations of men. It is rather to be regarded as the unchanging, the immutable will of the immutable God. The gospel is relevant to any and every situation which may arise in human life. The gospel does not need any changing. It does not need any modification. It does not need any additions. It does not need any subtractions. In short, it simply does not need the kind of help that human beings are trying to give to God as they tamper with the Bible. My friends, God will not accept our additions. He will not accept our perversions. He will not accept our subtractions from the Bible. He will accept our loving submission to Him by our learning and obeying His will. That's the only course of action which can and will be pleasing to God Almighty.